and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, April 10, 2023. A 17-year-old girl is undergoing treatment at Wau Teaching Hospital after her father tried to remove her eyes for refusing an arranged marriage.
Currently, she's blind, and the hope is very minimal for her to recover at least one of her eyes, because the damage is very extensive, and unless she gets a specialized center outside the country.
And some residents of Bor Town marched to the streets to protest the appointment of the town's mayor.
We are unhappy about things that have been happening in the town. The governor removed Ateng from the position of town mayor recently, and we were happy that now he has been brought again as Bor County Commissioner.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some South Sudanese activists are calling on authorities to punish a police officer in Warrap State who removed the eyes of his 18-year-old daughter after she allegedly refused to enter into an arranged marriage. A surgeon at Wau Teaching Hospital, Yasir Biagio, who is the brother of Nabil Biagio, says the girl should be flown outside South Sudan for a specialized care. For VOA News, Rose Keji reports from Juba.
The Minister of Information in Warrap State, William Wall Mayom, says the incident happened last week in Tonch East County. Mayom says accused 45-year-old police corporal Angelo Agany Kwat Ashwil was angry because his daughter refused an arranged marriage elopt with a man of her choice.
Before the incident, she was again ordered to be given forcefully to a man. However, she has again decided to come back from Tony East to Tony Town. And on the way, the father decided to take the motorbike and drive from Tony Town to Tony East. Before reaching Tony East Town, there were three on the motorbike, the brother of his father and the father Palazer herself. She was tied and half back. Her both arms were tied and half. And on the road, she has been driven into the bush. Father actually asked a permission. What could be possible action or punishment for her? Either to remove the two eyes or the father killed him. So the lady responded that if you want to kill me, why do you again want to remove the eyes? Better kill me. What? So the father actually decided to remove the eyes, got out two eyes, and the information was actually heard by the authorities. So the county authorities of Tony East quickly arrested the father.
Mayom says the security forces are investigating the matter and will arrange the suspect in court. He urges South Sudanese to stop forced marriages and abandon some cultural practices harmful to girls. Dr. Yasir Biagio is a surgeon at Wau Hospital in Western Barakazal State. He says the condition of the girl is stable, but he recommends the girl should be taken for further treatment outside the country.
A county from Wau State. She's around 17 years old. She was the father. Wants her to get married to somebody who is going to pay like a lot of cows. And the girl refused that idea. And then the father took her away to out of the home. And then they tied her hands and they destroyed her eyes. So the eyes with the knife, both eyes. Yeah, currently she's blind, and the hope is very minimal for her to recover at least one of her eyes, because the damage is very extensive, and unless she gets a high specialized center outside the country so that they may do retinal replacement of the other, she may otherwise.
Edmund Yakani is the executive director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, condemned the incident and says the national or state government should ensure the suspect punished.
I call upon the governor of Warabi State, the minister of gender of Warabi State, the national minister of gender, and the IGP of the police. The commission of Tonch East have arrested the father. But I think the father should face a court of law and all the due legal process should be applied. Our court is now suffering. She's already blind. We can't have any more options. Her eyes both were destroyed. She's turned to be now a disabled person by the father, intentionally because of forcing her to marriage.
Akonwol is a resident of Gogreal County in Warab State. He says he was disappointed to hear what happened to the young woman. Wol says the behavior of the father is crucial.
Yes, I saw it on Facebook. She started having a problem with his dad. So she was saying that his father wants her to pose her to the old man so that the old man can marry her. And she refused. That thing is no good. It's no good. It is impossible. No, a woman cannot do something like this. This is terrible. This is terrible. No one would like to your own blood, to put your own blood in that situation. That is very bad.
Article 237 of the South Sudan Penal Code states that whoever voluntarily causes grievance harm upon conviction shall be sentenced to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 7 years and may also be liable to a fine. For VOA News, I am Roskeji Benjamin in Juba.
Some South Sudanese activists are outraged by photos of the 17-year-old girl that surfaced on social media last week with reports that her father allegedly gouged both of her eyes because she refused to accept an arranged marriage. Rhea William Yayuda is the executive director at Crown the Woman South Sudan, where she and her team provide support to victims of domestic, sexual and gender-based violence. She tells my colleague Nabil Biagio, justice must be done for the 17-year-old girl.
Having seen the photos of this young girl whose eyes were removed, I cried. The war is on the women's body, you know. We speak about war in South Sudan, but we forget about the war that is on women's bodies. The girls and the women are suffering in this country. You have no choice over your own body in this country. It's abuse of human rights. It's inhumane. If it's coming from the father, then the war really is on our bodies and it has to be stopped like immediately. And that father should not see the sunlight again. He deserves to rot in prison, you know. If a father can do that to their own child, who else? And we've seen the abuses of human rights, the abuses of women's rights in this country. You know, we have the highest rates of child marriage in the world, among the worst in the world. We have domestication and abuses of our bodies. You know, women's bodies are actually there for sale. It's because of dowry. That's why all this is happening, you know. So the government really has a lot of work to do. It's insane. It's painful to see and watch the eyes. I saw that and I'm heartbroken.
It is indeed a very bizarre and ghastly incident. And like you mentioned, it's happening in a context of a patriarchal society where male relatives feel entitled and that they have ownership over females within the household. I would like to pick up a point you just mentioned about the father should be punished. We got reports that the father, who is apparently a police officer, Angelo Agan Kut, has been arrested and might be arraigned in court. But how often do girls who find themselves victims of domestic violence find legal recourse? Do you expect justice to be done?
We want justice. We demand for justice for this girl and the other girls who are going through the same. But, of course, we've seen in this country where justice is really denied and it's delayed. You know, it's always a delay tactic. They'll always come in exchange of cattle or in exchange of any other thing, compensation here and there. But justice is abused in this country. I saw that the guy was arrested But what does that mean for the girls? You know, it's one thing, you know, I am really losing it. I am asking myself, what does justice mean? Because it's one thing to remove someone's eyes. This girl will never see for life, you know? And how many years is this guy going to be in prison? Sometimes I feel like justice should be an eye for an eye. You remove my eye, I remove your eyes too, so that you feel the pain. Because this girl is not going to see for life, and it's something she did not cause. It's a war that is over her body just because she said no to a marriage that was arranged.
Back to your organization, I understand you work with survivors of such domestic violence. Tell me a little bit about the work you're doing and whether you have been in contact with this girl's family.
Yes, so Crown the Woman is a feminist organization that is supporting victims and survivors of sexual and gender-based violence. We have a national toll-free GBV hotline, 623, where survivors and their families and their relatives call in, and the kind of support we give include legal support, transportation of survivors to the hospital, survivors of rape, survivors of domestic violence, survivors of child marriage, for marriages, and all these kind of things. And we also give social support. We have group psychosocial support, individual psychosocial support, where our social workers visit in the house, and also we work together with support with other partners like UNFPA and provide temporary shelter as well to survivors.
Have you been in touch with this latest victim or her family?
There is a partner in WOW that was trying to reach out, and I heard from the family member that even there is no medication in WOW Teaching Hospital, even the family cannot afford medication for this girl. So many women are coming in. There is a group of women that is being led by EVE organization, Rita Lopedia, that is working together to ensure that we support this girl in whichever way we can. And also there is other groups like UNFPA is also supporting to ensure that the girl is airlifted to Juba for treatment.
That was Ria Williams Yayuda, executive director at the Crown the Woman, South Sudan. She spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio this past hour from Juba. Some residents of Jonglei State Capital Bor staged a peaceful demonstration today calling for an end to what they say is bad leadership, corruption and land grabbing. One protester says their demands include the removal of the state's deputy governor, Jacob Akech Dengdit, and the former Bor municipality mayor, Samuel Pech, who was recently reappointed as Bor County Commissioner. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Hundreds of Bor residents today took to the streets chanting slogans such as no to corruption and land grabbing, and carried placards saying Samuel Akech Dengdit and Jacob Akech Dengdit must go. They marched toward the governor's office. Agot Kwal, who took in protest, says he wants the governor to revoke the appointment of Samuel Akech Dengdit as Bor County Commissioner.
We are unhappy about things that have been happening in the town. The governor removed Akech from the position of town mayor recently, and we were happy that now he has been brought again as Bor County Commissioner. Why reappoint someone who just looted the public recently? We are not happy about that. And someone supporting him is the deputy governor, Jacob Akech Dengdit. So we want them to resign or be removed.
Another protester who only identified herself as Martha for fear of reprisals says former mayor Samuel Akech Dengdit has allegedly made life difficult for traders like her after he recently sold land where a vegetable market for women was located. Martha says she wants President Salva Kiir to revoke the appointment of Akech Dengdit as the commissioner of Bor County.
Ateng displaced us in January from our business center. Now our business is down, no money, and some of our children are not in school. All this happened after Ateng sold away our land. We don't want Ateng. He has been stealing land and our properties. There is no way a land thief can come in form of a county commissioner. If he was stealing when he was just a mayor, what would he do after getting the full power of being the commissioner?
Jacob Akeny Dengdit, the deputy governor of Jonglei State, insisted that there was no protest in Boer town on Monday. He says it was a group of women who came to congratulate him for the recent reshuffle in the state government.
The protest? No. Maybe those are people on the street or in the market or where. I did not hear that. I see people coming to congratulate and thanks me of appointing or reshuffled my government side of the SPLM. Yes. We are in Easter, my brother, where everybody is enjoying Easter. And the people that I received today are a group of women from Naivasha and Makwach. I am coming home and congratulate me for the appointment.
Dengdi says all parties implementing the 2018 revitalized peace agreement are entitled to nominate their candidates of choice for appointment in the state government. Ake judges people who have different opinions on his recent appointees to be patient.
The SPLM party is entitled to bring whoever can work now, and all members have right to be in a party, but one at a time. So this is a normal routine, no problem at all. And they should know and they should respect the decision of the SPLM party leadership in Jonglei State.
Samuel Ateny Page, the former mayor of Boer Municipality and the new commissioner for Boer County, insists Boer Town was peaceful on Monday.
For sure there is no protest that has taken place in Boer County. But women last time for this, they may be looking for the removal of the mayor, which is I vote. So there is no protest at all at my county. It's a protest in the town. If there is protest in the town for the vegetable woman, that is the protest of the vegetable are not concerned of Boer County. Boer County are chief and the youth, which are not even involved here. Nope. And there is no letter from any chief of Boer County rejecting the commissioner. So there is nothing with the commissioner at all.
The protest stems from controversy involving Ateny and the female traders during his previous role as mayor of Boer Municipality, which led to his removal by Governor Dineh Jogjaghore last month. A week later, Ateny Page was appointed by President Salva Kiir as Boer County Commissioner last week. Tension between the Boer Municipality and local businesswomen have been escalating after the women accused Page of allocating land meant for a market to private investors. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudan police say Easter celebrations went well across South Sudan. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The spokesperson of the South Sudan Police Service says community policing has reduced the rate of crimes across Juba Town. Major General Daniel Dustin says residents of Juba Town had a peaceful Easter celebrations compared to the previous years, where criminals took advantage of festivals to break into houses and steal property. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Major General Daniel Justin says the police did not record serious criminal activities and incidents during the Easter holiday.
Justin attributes the reduction in criminal activities to new police strategies of combating crimes across the capital. He says the police have been educating women, youth and elders about the importance of peace and security in their communities.
The effect of awareness have affected the people, and then the response became very positive. As a result, I think we can attribute this to all those efforts which were carried out before, and even up to now they are still going on. So a lot of efforts were done actually in regard to how best we can handle our security better.
Justin says police have been deployed around Juba to provide maximum security and prevent crimes during the Easter festive season. He says the spread of small firearms in the hands of civilians has made it difficult for police officers to prevent crimes. The police spokesman is asking residents of Juba Town to cooperate with the police officers deployed in their residential area. Justin says security is a collective duty.
As you used to say, security is the responsibility of all. So all of us, we are work together, especially in regard to timely reporting. Whenever there is something and it is reported immediately, we will be in position to come in to address it immediately.
He says patrols are usually deployed ahead of every festive season to prevent violence and criminal activities within Juba and across the country. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum. Despite the country's economic crisis, Muslims in Sudan are observing the holy month of Ramadan with customs that include sharing iftar with travelers. Sid Ahmed Ibrahim spoke to residents in Khartoum and has this story.
Cars rush past as young people spread carpets for prayer. And this is what the streets of Khartoum look like moments before Muslims in the city break their fast with an evening meal. Sudanese people observe the holy month of Ramadan with special rituals that include decorating the streets and preparing food. A resident of the Al Ghaim neighborhood says it is customary for men to break their fast in the streets.
It's one of our customs to gather and break the fasting in the streets daily during Ramadan. The purpose of this practice is also to share food with people who might not be able to reach their destination on time. These are rituals celebrated for decades all over Sudan.
Economic strain, residents say, is also felt in the streets. They say there is a lack of basic staple foods, including the wheat flour used in asida, a common dish in the Arab world, and other food items people depend on during Ramadan.
It's clear that the prices are increasing. Everything is increasing. We thank God for everything. Even though we have to adapt to that uncertain economic situation in the country, which makes us suffer to meet our daily needs. The prices of the meats are settled, but the vegetables are not. We don't have a choice except to be patient and help each other with our non-Sudanese hospitality.
Ramadan remains a special month for the Sudanese who strive to preserve its rituals and uniqueness. For Sid Ahmed Ibrahim in Khartoum, Sudan, I'm Vincent Macori, VOA News.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For 3 days in late March, the United Nations member states came together in an effort to accelerate progress towards UN Sustainable Development Goal 6, universal access to safe water and sanitation by 2030. Right now, progress is very much off track. According to the World Health Organization, about 2 billion people worldwide, or one out of every four, don't have access to safe drinking water. Nearly 3.6 billion people, nearly half the world's population, lack safe sanitation. Due to contaminated water and inadequate sanitation, around 1.4 million people die of waterborne diseases each year, while 74 million more live shortened lives. It gets worse. If this crisis is allowed to continue, global water demand will increase by 55% by 2050. That is why the Biden-Harris administration decided to make an enormous investment in global water security. To meet this moment, the Biden-Harris administration has launched an all-of-government approach to secure essential water resources for current and future generations, said U.S. Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland on the first day of the Water Conference.
I am honored to announce that as part of our commitments to the Water Action Agenda, the United States is contributing up to $49 billion in investments to ensure that climate-resilient water and sanitation remain a priority worldwide. This includes the release of the White House Action Plan on Global Water Security and the U.S. Global Water Strategy. Both will strengthen local and global systems to meet the needs of underserved communities.
Water is life, said Secretary Haaland. It is essential to everything we do, from cooking our meals and raising our children to growing crops and stopping the spread of a deadly virus during a global pandemic. Sustainable Development Goal 6 is central to meeting all our global goals, but we still have a long road ahead, she said.
Drought and other impacts of the climate crisis know no boundaries, and the communities with the least resources to protect themselves suffer the most.
Together, our nations are confronting a pivotal moment in our work to address the interlocking climate and water crises, said Secretary Haaland. Our Sustainable Development Goals are, at their core, shared values to expand economic opportunity, care for our planet, uphold and defend human rights, and make sure no person or community is left behind.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And that's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with Emmanuel Lasso and the song Intumia Junubin. Been listening to Emmanuel Lasso and the song Intakonia Junubin. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Nabil Biagio, and engineer, Rex, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
de ser en tu